Let's read together Galatians chapter 3, verses 19 through 29. Here in this final section of Galatians chapter 3, we have the purpose of the law and the answer to the question, why did God give the law? Let's read verses 19 through 22. Galatians chapter 3, beginning at verse 19. What purpose then does the law serve? It was added because of transgressions, till the seed should come to whom the promise was made. And it was appointed through angels by the hand of a mediator. Now a mediator does not mediate for one only, but God is one. Is the law then against the promises of God? Certainly not. For if there had been a law given which could have given life, truly righteousness would have been by the law. But the Scripture has confined all under sin, that the promise by faith in Jesus Christ might be given to those who believe. Let's begin our study this morning with some background notes. The theme of Paul's epistle to the Galatians is justification by faith. Not justification by good works, and not justification by faith plus good works, but justification by faith alone. That is, being declared righteous in God's sight is only by means of faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. This is really the gospel in a nutshell, isn't it? Even though we are sinners and deserve eternal death, which is the penalty for sin, God has a plan of salvation for us. And it's better than any earthly insurance policy that money can buy. God will forgive our sins and declare us righteous if we turn to Him in faith and receive Christ as our Savior. God can do this because Jesus died on the cross as our substitute and paid for our sins with His own perfect life. So justification by faith in Christ alone is God's way of salvation. Now, the false teachers of Paul's day were saying that you also had to do the works of the law for salvation. And certainly you had to do the works of the law for sanctification. That is, growing more holy. How could a person possibly be saved and sanctified apart from doing the good works of the law? That's what the false teachers, the Judaizers, were saying. Well, we've seen that Paul goes to great lengths in this epistle to show that the requirements of the law were not to be added to God's way of salvation or sanctification. God's way is by faith and not by works. Good works are the result of salvation and sanctification, not the means of salvation and sanctification. Now, when we use the term law here in Galatians, or the terms works of the law or requirements of the law, we are not thinking of the law to buckle your seatbelt or the law to obey the speed limit. No, the terms law or works of the law or requirements of the law here in the epistle to the Galatians have to do with the Mosaic law of the Old Testament, the Ten Commandments and all the other commandments that God gave the people, including circumcision. This is what the false teachers called Judaizers wrongly wanted to add to faith for both salvation and sanctification. Now, a logical question that should arise in our minds at this point would be what? If God gave the law, and yet salvation and sanctification are not through the law, then why in the world did God give the law anyway? What is the purpose of the law? Well, that's exactly the question Paul answers in these verses. And that brings us to our doctrinal points. Doctrinal point number one, in other words, what is this passage teaching? The law revealed the condition of everyone under sin. The law revealed the condition of everyone under sin. Verse 22, but the Scripture has confirmed all under sin. Romans 3:23 says, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. But suppose someone says, hey, I'm really not all that bad. I can meet God's standards on my own. That's exactly where the law comes in. The moral requirements of the law reveal God's righteous standards, and they show that we have all transgressed those standards, and everyone has fallen short of those standards. As Romans 3:20 says, "Therefore, by the deeds of the law, no flesh will be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin." So the law was never given for salvation, but rather to show us that we all need salvation, because everyone is under sin. Verse 21, "For if there had been a law given which could have given life, truly righteousness would have been by the law." But of course, there is no such law that can give life. The moral law of God reveals our condition under sin, but does not have the power to take away our sin. Maybe you've heard this illustration before. The law is like a mirror when you have a dirty face. The mirror can show you that your face is dirty, but it can't wash your face. It is powerless to wash the dirt from your face. Now, what does it mean at the end of verse 19 when it says, "The law was appointed through angels by the hand of a mediator"? Answer: the Old Testament law was mediated through Moses along with the holy angels who serve God. But, and here's the point, the promise that God made to Abraham was given directly by God himself, not through angels or a mediator. The fact that the law, which came after the promise, needed mediation shows that the law was inferior to the promise in that sense and did not set aside the promise to Abraham, which was based on faith. That argument might have been a little hard for you to follow, but that's the point of these verses. So the law was not given as a way of salvation, nor was it given to replace God's promise of salvation through faith. The law was given as a temporary measure, verse 19, until the seed, notice verse 19, seed, capital S, right? Until the seed should come to whom the promise was made. Remember, the seed here is Christ, and Christ has come. So now, verse 22, even though God's law leaves no doubt that everyone is under sin, the promise of salvation by faith in Jesus Christ might be given to those who believe. Verse 22. And that brings us now to our second doctrinal point. The law prepared the way for faith in Christ. The law prepared the way for faith in Christ. Verses 23 through 25. But before faith came, we were kept under guard by the law, kept for the faith which should afterward be revealed. Therefore, the law was our tutor to bring us to Christ, that we might be justified by faith. But after faith has come, we are no longer under a tutor. The law not only revealed the condition of everyone to be under sin, it prepared the way for faith in Christ. The concept of the law as a tutor or schoolmaster is not that the law leads a person to Christ, but that the law was a protective disciplinarian until Christ came. That's what a tutor or schoolmaster did in those days. In the Old Testament, God certainly used the law to discipline and protect and shield his people from all the evil and pagan practices surrounding them. But it was all to prepare the way for Christ. But now that faith has come, verse 25, that is faith in Christ, we are no longer under a tutor. Notice that verse 24 teaches that we are not justified by the law. And verse 25 teaches that neither is the law a rule of life for the believer. You follow both of those verses there? Verse 24, "Therefore the law was our tutor to bring us to Christ that we might be justified by faith." So we're not justified by the law, justified by faith. But further now, verse 25, "But after faith has come, we are no longer under a tutor." So not only does the law not justify, the law is not a rule of life for the believer, as some Christians teach. No, verse 25 again. But after faith has come, we are no longer under a tutor. So the law is not a rule of life for the believer. Our rule of life as believers is to walk with the Lord and serve the Lord. The law prepared the way for faith in Christ. What about practical application from this last section of Galatians chapter 3? Don't make Galatians 3:28 say what it doesn't say. Don't make Galatians 3:28 say what it doesn't say. Galatians 3:28. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither slave nor free. There is neither male nor female. For you are all one in Christ Jesus. Now, what does that verse mean anyway? Does the phrase "there is neither male nor female" mean that there is no longer any role distinction between men and women in the family or in the church? Now that we're all Christians, Christ has come, there's neither male nor female. Does that mean God has erased the role distinction between men and women in the family and in the church? Everybody answered, no, that's not what it means. That would be ripping this verse out of context. Let's read verses 26 through 29. And notice while I read these verses that the context is salvation. The context is not roles in the family or roles in the church. The context is salvation. Verses 26 through 29. For you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither slave nor free. There is neither male nor female. For you are all one in Christ Jesus. And if you are Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. The point of these verses in context is that salvation for everyone is through Christ alone. It's through faith in Christ alone, not by adding the works of the law. The way of salvation is the same for Jews and Gentiles. The way of salvation is the same for slaves and free people. The way of salvation is the same for men and for women. There's only one way of salvation for everyone. And when you accept Christ by faith, you become a spiritual son of Abraham because he was also saved by faith. We are all one in Christ and heirs according to the promise. So Galatians 3:28 is not saying that God has removed all differences between men and women in the family or in the church. No way. And yet you go to your Christian bookstores today and you pull out some of the books trying to erase the role distinctions, particularly in the church between men and women, and I can guarantee you they will pull out Galatians 3:28 as their theme verse. Neither male nor female. Bad hermeneutics, as we say at Emmaus. All right. So Galatians 3:28 is not saying that God has removed all differences between men and women in the family or in the church. No, Galatians 3:28 has to do with salvation. The way of salvation is the same for all, by faith in Christ alone. So don't make Galatians 3:28 say what it doesn't say.